everyone in the tech field wants to do three things: relax, automate, and get paid. There's no other tool out there that can make that more possible than D7. Go over to foolishit.com. Don't forget to use the promo code PodNutsShow20 to save an extra 20%. PodNuts would like to thank Nick Shaw for his continued support.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 85 of the Geeksters. We are back from Ohio Linux Fest. I had the pleasure to hang out with three of the coolest guys that I know. Dor, Jeff Owens. No, just kidding.
And then I showed up.
and Mad Dog Hall. No, I'm just kidding. Got a chance to hang out with Mitch, Tim, and Fred. Unfortunately, Fred's not able to join us tonight. He had every intention to, and then somebody decided to light a gas plant on fire.
Nice.
And Fred's stuck in a plane. So he gets to hang out with the rest of us when we just get to sit on a plane for a long time.
Yeah, that's a guy that's officially out of excuses.
I know, exactly. Yeah, now the gas plant caught on fire. Yeah, that's it, you're done. I used that one in high school, and it went over just as well. So, no, we're back from Ohio Linux Fest. I had a blast. It wasn't until the last couple of days where... So I've only been home a couple of days, same as you guys, but I'm tired still. I've been working pretty hard, but I'm looking forward to... I already want to go back, and I know I've heard from Mitch does, and I hope Tim does. Fred, wherever you are, I want to see you again, but it was a great time. But so we're joined with Mitch, Tim, maybe Fred will be here, we don't know yet, but I'm just checking with these guys. I feel like it wasn't even just Sunday that I got a chance to talk to you guys. But how's it going over the last 2 days? I'll go with Mitch first because Tim looks like you're busy.
Well, as you know, I didn't sleep much there. I mean, 3 hours in 3 days. So when I came home Sunday evening, I stayed up till about 11 o'clock. I went to bed at 11 o'clock, and I was surprised. I was asleep at 11:01. Slept to 5:30, got up, ate a little breakfast, went back in bed, and slept till 10. And then last night I slept 3 or 4 hours back to my normal self. So,
oh, good. 3 or 4 hours. Refreshed.
Yeah.
But, you know, that first night back, because it was tough. I mean, I was just so exhausted. And, you know, with me, I'm not used to sleeping in a different room, different bed. And it was very difficult. So, but other than that, other than my body complaining, I had a great time. I mean, meeting you guys. I mean, that was the honor for me. Meeting Tim in person and you, Martin, and you look younger in person than you do on here.
I also look smaller because I remember the first thing you said to me when you jumped out of the van was, you're a lot bigger than I expected. Well, so
you're a big guy.
I know, but it's funny. The camera takes off, what would you say, Mitch, 150 pounds?
You're fit, but you're not heavy, though. You're not heavy, though. Now, on the other hand, Fred...
Since he's not here, let's give him a bad time.
Yeah.
No, it was great. So I flew in. The first person I jumped out of the vehicle or out of the airport, and Mitch and Dor pulled up and gave me a ride. So that was a lot.
Yeah,
of fun.
It was something to rehash how you did it. You took a flight from Oregon to Baltimore, and we picked you up. And that was another 6 or 7 hours to get to Ohio. That was, that was some running around.
Yeah, I think by the time I got a chance to lay down for the first time, I was just working on about 45 hours of being up straight. So I slightly just, I mean, minus the tad bit that I did fall asleep in the car, but then woke myself up by snoring. So I didn't go to sleep after that.
Nice.
Yeah, the few times I almost did fall asleep there, I woke myself up snoring because
That's old man stuff. Don't admit
it is,
that.
It is old man stuff. Tell me about it.
I was in the car and I just startled myself and I sat up and I said, "Was I snoring?" They go, "Yeah."
I thought you were saying, "Where am I? Where am I?"
No, I don't want to get up and go to school.
and then we screwed up when we hit the PA Turnpike. Dor didn't take the right. He was supposed to take a ticket and then go to the right booth to take the ticket. So when we got off the turnpike, it was $33 when it should only have been like $13. But what an experience. And I'm just, like I say, meeting you guys, you have these expectations. What do you look like in person? And it's just fantastic. And then we met quite a bit of other guys. We met the Techie Geek, Russ Wenner from the Techie Geek podcast, which I've listened to him for a long time. Byer Brown, he does a lot of podcasts out there. And the Linux Link Tech Show, that was pretty interesting. All these guys, and some of these guys I'm meeting by accident. Hey, who was that? I recognize. Oh, I didn't recognize the guy's face. I recognize his voice. So it's just really, it was like who's who in podcasting. Really cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. And then so Fred showed up the first night, and then or second night, excuse me. And then Tim, you showed up, and we all got a chance to go hang out and just chit chat, and it was great. We went out to, what was the, was it Three-Legged Mare?
Yeah.
Is that the little bar? Kind of Old Town Columbus, Ohio.
I still love those little teeny burgers and the fried pickles. Hey, it was really good. I might go back just for that. It's good.
We're also joined, since I haven't, he was busy earlier, but we're also joined by Tim. Hey.
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
I'm doing good.
Short time, some see.
Yeah, yeah. Now you were back. You went back the same day. I went back late Sunday night. But you went. Were you home Sunday night then?
Yeah, I didn't really go to Ohio Linux Fest per se. I didn't. Once again, didn't get a chance to actually do the whole OLF thing. But unlike last year, I actually did make it. Did get to meet everybody. I was a little concerned at first because Mitch just walked right past me. I thought he was mad at me already.
No. That was so funny.
We were meeting up, and I see them standing there, and Mitch was looking for me, and
you're
he walks
you
right
had
past me.
A red, what was this red 69 Mustang? What was that? What's up with that?
My gosh! Wait, you got to read the whole thing. It said what are we looking for? I said I'm in a red 69 Mustang. I said it only looks like a blue caravan.
Oh, I missed that.
You got to read. Got to read to the end. So that's as if I actually was in a red 69 Mustang.
Read that and they're saying it out loud. So
that was me. You know, I read it.
That should have been a red flag there. But no. I mean, it was nice. I did get in and spent a few hours with everybody. More than a few hours. We were, my goodness, it was. It went into wee hours of the morning. Those people are crazy.
I think it was like 1:30 or something when you had your engagement from 1:30 in the morning, 1:32.
My engagement. My engagement.
Well, you left.
Yeah.
Well, you had to get the road.
I became disengaged from
disengaging.
We spent a lot of good time. Yeah, and then we got a chance to meet up the next morning for some breakfast. And
what was your expectations of us? I mean, when you saw us for the first time, all of us, Fred and
no, it was about right.
That little fat son. No,
it was as underwhelming as expected.
I was so excited.
It's funny because when you hear people on the radio for years and years, they never look anything like you expect them
to. Right.
And this was really curious because I know what y'all look like, and I kept hearing the same thing from everybody else, was that you know what everybody looks like, and you know what they say, so you think you have it. And then when you meet them in person, it's like, you're still you realize the things that you're still missing in these hangouts. It's like, I didn't realize this person was as tall as they were, they're as short as they were.
Right, exactly.
Fred's head is too small for his body. I never picked up on that in the chat. But but you know what? I'll tell you what, the one thing that I did confirm and I was very, very. I wasn't surprised. I was very pleased that meeting all of these Podnuts people for the first time, that I've known for years. I've known the names, and I was introduced by name. I'm like, what's your chat name? What do you go by? Your handle? It's like, okay. And everybody was absolutely as outstanding as I expect them to be. As I've always known them to be, and so. And it was really, really cool that the people that you haven't met physically, that within 5 minutes you sit down and it, there was, it wasn't like weird or anything. It was like you just like launched back in the same conversation we've always been having. And I tell you what, it was absolutely just so much fun. We had a lot of good laughs. And so I was accused of having something in my coffee. I said, it's straight. There's nothing in there.
And I was having a good time. I was asked about your laugh, Tim. Was it just as good as it was in real time as it is on here?
You tell me.
It was.
All right.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was good.
Well, you got me going. You gave me plenty of good material. That thing with you taking pictures of stuff on your computer, I don't know. There's no sense. There's no need to rehash all that.
Yeah,
I don't want to turn this into looking at other people's vacation photos.
But I have to tell
you.
But
I mean, I mean, there were some very, very funny moments, and it was outstanding. It was very, very good. So,
Jeff and Els Owens, meeting them, and Red Dwarf, Bill Wilson, they're really, really great guys. And you can attest to that too, Martin. I mean, really nice guys.
Yeah. Definitely.
I miss them already.
Yeah, I had a chance. So everybody kind of left kind of mid-morning on Sunday. And I just hung out with Bill Red Dwarf. I just hung out with him for the rest of the morning.
He left yesterday on Monday, right?
Yeah. We went back to the North Market, got some food, just kind of hung out, and then went back to the hotel room and just hung out and talked and just had a good time. And then he actually drove me to the airport on my way out. So, yeah, it was really nice to just kind of use that day to unwind. But yeah, it was really, I will agree with you guys as far as the conversations go. So when I was first picked up in Baltimore, jumped out, I shook Mitch's hand, shook Dora's hand, I jumped in, and that was that. It just was like, okay, we're back into talking, you know? Mm-hmm. It was very smooth. Because you never know. You always kind of wonder, you're going to like these people in person? Because I see you guys once a week.
Right.
And after about an hour and a
really
half, I'm done.
We don't know each other.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm done. you don't know. And it was just very comfortable, and it was really nice just to, meet these people that I have talked to on shows or I've listened to before, and to actually get down and just sit down with them. And I actually, started talking to people that I didn't even think that I would talk to, or not necessarily talk to, but hang out with as much, and one of them was Tony Bemis from the Sunday Morning Linux Review. So Tony was there, and can't remember the other gentleman's name, Mary T, all three of them do. And Tony and I just kind of hit it off. We got a chance just to talk about work and life.
You were talking quite a bit, the next day and the day after.
Yeah. I sent him a Vox just before, on Saturday, or was it Saturday or Sunday? And I said, hey, I know you're going to be leaving soon. He brought his family with him. And I said, I just want to say bye and shake your hand one more time. And he sent me a message. I ran downstairs and got a chance to, talk to his wife and meet his little daughter. And, there was a rebuilding or a hardening of old friends. Keeping in contact with old friends, but I made new friends, and I think that's what it's all about. And I'm just excited to keep in contact with old and new, and I think it's now I want to go back. I wanted to go back before, but you know what I mean? It kind of is just like I had so much fun that it felt like there was so much time spent doing other things besides just hanging out that we kind of missed all that.
Yeah, there were some funny things and then little stressful things. Like when we left, when Dor came here, he left. He didn't hit any traffic. And leaving here was right at that time, around 4 o'clock, you have a very good chance of hitting the Baltimore Beltway traffic, which we did. So when we get ready to hit the Beltway, you can go either way. One way is going to be a little bit longer. You have to go through the horrible tunnel. But the other way is shorter, but it just wasn't moving. So we go the other direction. Then that starts backing up. But it kind of worked out all right, because I don't think you weren't there more than an hour, were you, Martin?
Oh, I was there. I was there maybe a half an hour. I remember talking on the phone with the client back here, walked her through some stuff. Maybe half an hour.
Because it really worked out well. You didn't have to wait that long. And then leaving there, we hit a little bit of traffic. But once we hit 70 West, it was sailing. I mean, easy sailing from there. Yeah. And
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, finish that, and I want to some funny moments I want to bring up about the when we ate at the Mongolian Grill, which you had to bow out. But go ahead, say what you were going to say.
If you have any electronic devices and you fly into the Baltimore airport, please make sure they're charged ahead of time. There is not a single plug-in to save my life. I jump off the airplane. I need to talk to my wife. If my phone's going to die, and I'm wandering aimlessly like I'm looking for a lost child. Anybody see an outlet? If there was an outlet, you know, because you give your kids phones.
Right.
You know? So, you know, if they're lost, you just call them. But if you have no battery, how could you call them?
Did you have a cigarette charger light connector?
No, I borrowed yours.
Right, it was a good thing I brought mine. The doors had a dual one up there, and so it kind of worked out well. I brought mine.
So I was able to plug in and give my wife a call, let her know I was safe and alive still. But then other major airports, they're all over the place. So,
well, there were charging ports at that bar we were at Saturday night. Did you see that? At the bar, there was a row of charging ports for phones.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
You know,
no.
So,
I got coffee. That's all I got was coffee. Was it Friday night? I think we went to the Mongolian Grill, and it was 12 of us. And Martin got called out to do a job. So I've never eaten one of those places before. I don't know about you, Tim, but it's like you can pick they got chicken, meat, seafood. You pick all your meats, then you can get your vegetables. And then whatever else you want on everything, they have this big, huge grill. You would take it, and they would grill it right in front of you. Well, me being so slow and so exhausted and so tired, I look on the back
they
wall.
They don't make you.
I have no idea where this is going.
That's right. You weren't there. You weren't even there. So I'm looking on the back wall, right? And there's in the kitchen, right? So, you know, kind of in the kitchen, there's this lady working there. She didn't speak English. So I put my bowl up there, and she was trying to point to me, and I didn't know what she was saying. So she finally took it. She finally took it and started grilling in a little frying pan.
Oh.
She grilled the whole thing, and when I was supposed to put it, and I didn't know until after the fact. That was embarrassing. I mean, it still came out good, you know, but it wasn't fried like everything else was. That was my fault. So it came out good.
Wow.
Well, it's not like chopsticks where, you know, some people might actually have expectations of others to be able to use them. I mean, who goes to Mongolia? I mean, who would know?
I've never, but next time I go, though, I'm grilling. I'm taking a steak, and I'm going to find somebody. But what's funny is I didn't know there was, like, valet grilling at Mongolian Grill. You just take a ticket, and somebody will come get your bowl for you.
Nah, you're supposed to take the bowl. I'm filled. I just wasn't thinking straight or looking or right, and no one was there to help me out. But another funny thing at the table, like we had two tables with six people.
Who were you with? Who were you there with?
Oh, the gang, the door.
And they didn't say nothing?
I guess I wasn't next to anybody at the time. We're all, you know, and I was just, I don't know.
I blame them.
Anyway, but doors, like, we're at the table with six of us. I'm sitting at the table with door, and I think it was Russ Winter sitting next to door. And he don't say no foul language on here, but in real life he might, you know. And a waitress, you know, the young college waitress, attractive young lady, she just burst out laughing because of the way Dor was talking. That was real. Like, I'm looking at her, she just goes. It was funny. You had to be there. I thought that was hilarious, but it was endearing. I thought it was really funny, But I kind of said to her, I'm sorry for it. That's just, he don't mean nothing. She goes, no, I'm used to it. I just think it's hilarious, you know. But it was a great time. Except for you had to leave. You had to go to a job.
I know. We all got there. We walked in. They asked us how many people. We were just kind of waiting, and my phone rang. And right off the bat, I had to head back to the hotel because somebody was trying to access their email, but I couldn't. I was not able to access it for them, and I couldn't get the right passwords, and they really needed it that day. So it was about 8 o'clock. It was about 8 o'clock Eastern time, because I remember thinking, somebody's calling me at 4 or 4:30 Pacific time on a Friday night saying they can't get into their email. And I was like, all right. So I ended up having to walk back to the hotel, which was just a couple blocks. But I missed all this. I didn't get a chance to eat with anybody, and but that's, you know, it's part of owning your own business.
Well, back up a little bit. The day we got there, 1:30 Friday morning, we all hiked up to this place called, what was it, UDF? which is a United Dairy Farmers. It's a store like it's like 7-Eleven. It used to be a customer.
Yeah, it looks
for
like 7-Eleven.
It used to be a big customer for my my company that I work for. Anyway, and it was a long haul. I mean, for me, it's a long haul. Something when you're overweight, not used to walking, you start sweating, then you start.
It's okay, Mitch, because it was 2:30 in the morning. There was a nice chill in the air.
Fill in the blanks. I mean, I was sore. I got blisters on my feet and from the 3 days. And anyway, but it was worth it. It was worth it. And then, I don't know. Should I tell you about the you know about the incident, Martin, coming home at the
incident
at the stop? I don't think Tim knows. Maybe he does.
The incident.
Yeah.
The incident.
We on the PA Turnpike. And I'm exhausted. I didn't sleep the night before, not at all the night before. So I'm trying to sleep in the car a little bit. Couldn't do it. We stopped at a rest stop, get something to eat. And Door has a, what kind of car is it? It's just like your car, Tim. Caravan.
It's just a minivan.
Yeah. And so I'm in there ordering my food. I'm looking at the outside, looking at Door's car. I see these two ladies looking in there. They get in the car. I run out there. I said, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" It's my car, sir. I said, and it had Pennsylvania tags on it where Door has Maryland. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm confused. I haven't slept in 3 days. It wasn't Door's car.
Mitch was going to get beat down by a couple ladies.
They were nice about it, but it was embarrassing. I was just so out of it. It was really good. Luckily, Door, no one saw it, but it was. But I'm telling you the story because it is a true story. It's kind of funny and stupid because I did a stupid thing. When you don't have sleep for three days, you do stupid things. I do them when I do sleep, but it's even worse when I don't.
Poor Mitch.
By the way,
I know.
Our new slogan should be "Geeksters Going Wild." Did you see that on Facebook?
Oh my gosh!
What
the lady lives in up your way? The fan of ours from Unbeatables. She coined that phrase. Geeksters
my
going
way?
Wild. Yeah, the
we
Teddy
didn't do anything wild.
I was showing you. She lives up your way. She's been a fan since Podnuts.
Yeah, and those can be, I think if you go to the, just any of our Facebook, or not Facebook, but Google Plus pages, you'll definitely see all of us. You can judge us by our side size. Good.
Yeah, most of them you have to go on a Podnuts OLF event, look on the event, you'll see there's tons of pictures up there. There's more added all the time. Really cool.
Yeah, that was very. It was. I really came away just had a fun time, and I know Mitch, you opened up your room. I got a chance to stay in the other bed, which was nice. And then we hung out.
I'm glad you said that.
Well, yeah, I got a chance to bunk with Mitch.
The other bed.
the other bed. And then Tim, you hung out in there for a while. We just chatted up for many hours.
The only thing I regret. And you wanted to do it. We all brought all this podcasting equipment, and you saw what Bill Wilson, he bought some nice stuff, and we never did any of it, but maybe sometime.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't, because I remember last year listening to the whole group. I think they did either an HPR episode or maybe just a separate Podnuts episode, but yeah, they all kind of just sat around and talked about what was going on, and I really wanted to be a part of that, and was bummed that never came to fruition.
What I didn't see, I saw some of the pictures. I see Russ, he has a picture with the Google glasses on.
Yeah,
were you there
I
at
walked
the time?
By and I walked by and he was playing with them. But there was a group, there was just as much people hanging around him with the Google Glass Center as with John O'Bacon whenever he was moving around. So there was a nice group of people waiting to try him and touch him and feel him. So. The glass is not Russ, we kind of walked on, but yeah, I did see that, and he sounded like from something he had posted that he was a little more amazed than he thought he was going to be, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. He kind of expected it just to be, kind of like, oh, that's what I expected, and I think he was definitely taken back by them. So
cool.
And Tim, you've just been quiet.
Well, I wasn't there for, you know, much of it. The one thing that I would like to say is that there isn't enough that can be said for the city of Columbus, especially what they've done downtown. It's absolutely fantastic. The urban decay that I remember from 20 years ago, there was a lot that was going on then as far as plans, trying to revitalize the area. Downtown wasn't awful during the day, and then up north, High Street to the Ohio State campus, you know, that area, the campus itself, you know, wasn't bad, but that whole area in between there was really, really rough. And I know that they start working initially on the Short North area, which is High Street just south of the Ohio State campus. But I haven't been there in so long. I know that quite a bit of work had been done. I was absolutely stunned by what's there now. You know, the convention center was there. It's been there for, you know, decades. But everything that's built up around it and everything they've done, to actually walk from the hotel at the convention center blocks away to a bar and sit outside after dark was absolutely bizarre from the way I remember it. So, beautiful city. They've really cleaned it up. There's so much to do downtown. That was the one thing that I really took away from it. So anybody that lives there locally, you know, I really tip my hat to how beautiful the town is. And anybody who hasn't visited or has any plans to go, you won't be disappointed. It really is wonderful.
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful. First impressions, never being there before. Yeah, I thought it was real beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I've lived in college towns before. I've been through college towns before, and just the old town was so cool. Just the old brick buildings that are still standing, the cobblestone streets. I thought that added a nice touch. And where we hung out Saturday night's after party was just right there on that. We're at kind of right. I don't know if it was in the middle of it, but it was right there. I mean, you walked out of the bar and where we were sitting outside, and right there on the cobblestone streets, and it just added a nice. It was just comfortable. It was, the weather was, I mean, you couldn't ask for better weather. I don't know. I'd definitely go back and visit it. There was quite a bit going on that I would have, so first, you know, gone and seen it, but first impressions of Columbus, Ohio were really good. And I wouldn't mind visiting again.
Agreed.
So we've kind of had a short week, though, with everything going on with Ohio Linux Fest, and then coming back in this week. But you guys had anything happening this week? Anything exciting?
No, I've got a stack of stuff waiting for me. That's pretty much where it's at. Yeah, I had a lot of hardware come in: broken screens, broken power jacks. Gosh, you know, I think there's maybe a reinstall or two here, and a lot of it is. Yeah, I'm still trying to playing catch up. It was a long weekend, so. That's kind of where that is, but I don't have anything really really big to report.
Yeah, I got a couple. You know, while I was there, I had to make some phone calls. We had some email issues while I was there. Before I left, I need to, you know, kind of, what I got to order some computers. But I got a call for some spyware or some malicious act stuff on a computer. So I drove up to Vancouver yesterday morning, first thing, and I ended up running into the maintenance man, and he's the one who reported it. So the lady who's there normally, she was out that day. He says, I sit on this computer and noticed it was running really slow, checked out the search history, things that aren't good in the search history. And this is an apartment complex, and what they do is they have kind of a little business center for residents to use, where they can come, they can surf the email, you know, check email, they can print, there's a little printer there. But the one thing that I did notice about this apartment complex, as opposed to some of the other ones I work with, is that the front office is an actual office, closed door in the front, but then the business center is in the back, just unfettered. There's nobody back there. There's nobody monitoring. There's no way for staff to actually look and see what people are doing back there. So it's not until something happens that they call me and say, hey, you know. So unfortunately, it's highly reactive and not proactive. So went in, cleaned it up. It really wasn't that bad. But I went ahead and did install OpenDNS on the router and installed the application and put them through OpenDNS and installed the, you know, stuff. But I was able to clean that up. It wasn't anything bad. Did updates on the two machines. So I was there for about 2 hours, and that was just kind of gave me a chance just to kind of run through and clean that up. And then while I was there, I received a call from somebody else, another client, who said, hey, they don't know how it happened, but they got a pop-up on their computer. And it wasn't the FBI warning. What would happen was is their computer started to scan something, and then it would come back and say, all these malicious activities, all this malicious viruses. It was basically what it was. It was a fake antivirus program. Yeah. So you'd run anything on the desktop, start any application, and it would start it, close it, and then tell you it had a Trojan in it. So Hitman Pro, I showed up. I've been trying to kind of whittle things down, so I didn't take my big backpack with all my stuff in it. I showed up with a couple thumb drives and my laptop, and I didn't have Hitman Pro. So I was able to get online and then used my VM Windows box to create my Hitman Pro thumb drive and cleaned it up, got it nice and clean. But it was there for a couple hours doing that. So I did a big loop. It was about 110 mile loop yesterday was my trek around the area. I've just got stuff coming up. I need to do some more email addresses, a lot of receipts from both traveling and. From there, just normal business stuff. A lot of paperwork to do. We do play our final softball game tonight. It looked like it was getting dark earlier and looked like it was going to rain, and now it's sunny. Nothing happened, so we'll be playing tonight. Win, lose, or draw, we start at 6:30, and if we win, we move to the 7:30 game, and if we win, we move to the 8:30 game for the final single elimination. So I could be coming home at 10 o'clock at night, or I could be coming home at 8 o'clock at night.
Good luck.
Yeah, I'm not feeling very good today. I'm a little tired. My back's pretty sore from traveling. But I'll be out there doing the best that I can. Hopefully, maybe tonight I'll finally crack out the home run that I've been holding back for. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Maybe I may not. But yeah, not a whole lot. With such a short week, our whole a big chunk of my time was spent with OLF. So that's been the big thing. I've got some printers not working still, and I need to go make some changes to that QuickBooks and stuff. But nothing big. Nothing's happened a whole lot here with me. Wish I had some stuff. I do know that one of the interesting things that we talked about last week was that I reminded people that it was Patch Tuesday and to go ahead and release. Microsoft did a whole bunch of patches. Well, then Microsoft had to release patches for patches. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I love that.
That's always great. So one of the things that was happening that I noticed or that I was reading about, I didn't notice this, which was great, was that if you had Windows 8 and were running Office 365, one of the patches actually got rid of a whole bunch of data. The data, it wiped it out. It didn't delete anything. It just didn't work anymore. I think it was like the toolbar or the left-hand column in Outlook. So I was reading somewhere about that. There were things like, security patches for Exchange just stopped working. Or it didn't work. It wouldn't patch. So they ended up re-releasing like 14 patches again. So if you are listening to this and you need to update, definitely check your Windows updates again. Check your Windows updates again. Make sure that you're getting new patches. It sounds like a lot of them are going to be server related or specifically Office related. But definitely, if you have servers, that's one of the things I need to do is re-download my updates again to make sure things are working. So I just wanted to bring that out to somebody to attention because that's want to stay current with those.
Yeah, when I got back to work today, I had to reboot my computer. The yellow triangle thing kept on coming up to reboot it, so I shut everything down. But I don't even know what got updated, I know they're using VNC, real VNC now. See that in the taskbar. They put that on there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because they, I know the one guy liked it better than what's the remote desktop thing for Microsoft. I guess he likes.
Oh, the RDP session?
Yeah. He likes real VNC better. So.
Oh, when you said, okay, there it is. When you had said VNC, I heard VLC.
I'm sorry, VNC. Video. Yeah.
Well, you may have said VLC, but I heard VLC, and so I thought, Oh, you're doing remote sessions with VLC.
Yeah, real VNC. So I'm looking at them, seeing it, because they have VNC. A pay version, a free version, but it looks like they have the pay version on there. So
yeah, I definitely have a couple friends and a couple clients who use VNC, and I used to use it a long time ago. It makes it, there is a way. Yeah, there is a way to make, you can create a support session with it.
Look at some of the old Pawnet sessions. We had something on that way back in the day. And I remember even Dave trying to get it to work. We could never get it to work right.
Yeah, so I would have clients and I would send them this file, or they would actually, they would just go online. And it was a VLC application that was specifically designed to connect straight to me. And I haven't used it
since.
You
could make it branded with your logo or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And I haven't used that in 10 years, something like that. Now I just use my Screen Connect, mm-hmm. and that seems to work out really well. So Mitch, you're listening to you. You are, you know, it seems like you use Windows a lot, but you are kind of dipping your toes back into the Linux world after coming back. Did OLF inspire you in a penguin-y kind of way?
You know, Dora's been after me go like last year, and I was pretty heavy into Linux. When I say heavy, I mean I would hammer at it enough just to have some success. Like I had some success with Fedora 1. So what are we on now? So you know.
19?
Yeah. So is it 19? Yeah, it's up there. But
all right, I'll find out.
But getting my 3D NVIDIA card to work, that was something, so I could play Unreal Tournament back in the day. And then messing around with Slackware, which is probably really, really, it took me a long time to get that to work right. And after I got it to work right, I never played around with it anymore. Then Ubuntu, of course, Ubuntu, you don't really, it's just going to work. And but if you know you can play around with Linux Mint, it's going to have all the codecs in there, everything. You don't have to do anything with that. But I haven't played around with it too much anymore. And I do feel like, you know, I'm there at this convention. It's all about Linux. I should start messing around with it. I do have Puppy Linux, which I installed on an old 20 gig hard drive on an old NVIDIA chipset board, AMD, and it's running pretty good. But you know, Puppy Linux, you know, I think it's normally just meant to run from the from a boot up CD, but I wanted to put it on the hard drive, and it's not cut and dry. You have to pre-do your hard drives, and I had to watch a tutorial to do that because I don't remember it by heart. But I got it on there, and then I wanted to install Skype, so I found a package manager to type it in. And it's just giving me some plugins. Well, this ain't right. So I had to look up on that. And it's just kind of, you had to download two files. And it's just a little different the way you install, at least Skype was. But it's working. I haven't tried the camera yet. I haven't hooked up my camera. Then, and I have onboard audio on there. But I put in a Plantronics headset. Took me a while to get that to work, for it to default to that. And I was using also ALSA, you know, the sound driver thing. But and I did get the headset to work, except for my speaker icon is X'd out now. I can't adjust any volume on anything unless I do it with, let's say if you're watching a YouTube video, I can do it within the program itself. But I have to figure out how to do that. And Dor told me about using Pulse Audio. So you know, but I'm going to probably wind up on another hard drive and putting probably Ubuntu on one of my newer machines.
I was going to ask you about that because you, I mean, while I commend you, you chose the Slackware version of Puppy, correct?
I don't remember. We went through it. I can't remember what it is. It's the newest one because it can be Slackware or evidently it can be anything.
Ubuntu. Yeah. But yeah, but well, since you had to do disk partitioning, I probably didn't. I mean, did you have to manually set up your swap in your home, or did you just say just do it? Okay, so that's not the Ubuntu version, at least what I know. Because
I had to do Ubuntu, it the same. Puppy Linux, I had to do it the same way.
Right, so it's probably not because Ubuntu has it automatically partitions.
Right, a lot of distros, but this one, even when I messed with it way back in the day, Puppy Linux a little bit.
Yeah.
I had to do it this way. You had to, but I mean, I just found a video. You know, it walks you through it. You got to do the, you know, swap partition, make, you know, the boot partition, right. Make it active and all that. And it works. And then there's nothing else on it. Although, I guess it had Windows on it one time, but I'm looking at the Grub bootloader, and it gives me a choice of Puppy Linux or Windows. And I wiped everything off there. I mean, I assume that's what I did with G-parted, you know. But, you know, I'm wondering why it still says Windows on there. I haven't tried to boot to it, yeah, though.
I don't know.
But it defaults to Puppy Linux. If I don't hit it, it'll still boot to it. So, right.
So any reason then? Well, like I said, I commend you for choosing a harder distro. What I mean by harder is you could have very well said, I'm inspired by, you know, by that. There's Mint, there's Ubuntu, there's Fedora. There's a whole bunch of distros under the sun that make it really easy to just put it in, turn it on. It self-partitions the hard drives. It already has, you know, repos, whether they're RPMs or deb files, already ready to go. You kind of just you chose Slackware and I was just curious, is that just because you had done it in the past and you just kind of, you know, you're kind of nostalgic throwing it on there?
You mean now with Puppy, you're talking about with Puppy doing this one?
Yeah.
I still don't have to do anything for the command line. I just still did it.
Well, yeah, but you don't, yeah, from the but you don't have to.
The new
bubbly distros and the new very friendly distros, you know, Mint and Ubuntu and things like that. I was just curious, how come you didn't choose something like that for to be this, you know, your initial kind of step back into it after it's been so long?
That's the only reason why I tried Puppy, because I didn't have any. It wouldn't take it's a CD burner in there, not a DVD burner. So it's a small, small ISO. Now I plan to put something on. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking about maybe I'll play with Arch, because I started doing that a couple of years ago.
that's what I'm talking about. You're just choosing.
If you really want to learn Linux, exactly, do something. You know, you're going to have to do the command line. You'll know, you know, the path of things. You know, you got your root and I forgot all that. So it does help when you start pounding out those, you know, those commands and then you'll understand the hierarchy of the file system in Linux and which will come back to me when I start playing around with it more.
Right. I totally agree with you. So that's what I was curious is, it sounded like you kind of went the harder way because you wanted to learn.
Right. And I'll probably do that. Yeah. Like, you know, I don't know. I'll probably mess around with Ubuntu, but I still have, like, I 2 years ago started messing around with Arch. And but I worked on a computer, and I sold that hard drive that I was working on with Arch to somebody. I mean, I fixed his computer, so I never went back to it. Of course, I had to wipe it, and that was a process too. And I didn't get too far on that, but I would have stuck with it. But I never went back with it after I sold that hard drive. But you know, I think if you really want to learn it, and you don't have to do any of this stuff, try to learn the command line. I learned learned how to manually install packages, you know, through the command line, and I forget all that, but it will come back to me. But if you don't play with it every day, you're going to forget it.
Right. I mean, I just asked because there's, you know, we've talked about like Bode Linux and some other small, some tinier, you know.
Say it again. What Linux?
Bode? Bodhi?
Wow. I don't know that one.
That's a, yeah. That
I heard you guys talk about it. I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, that one, I think I'd have to, you know, do some more research on that one, but I'm pretty sure that one's based off of, I'd have to look.
I think
I'm
you
sorry,
made it up.
But,
is it at
no,
Linux?
No,
I could say anything. I could say.
Yeah, it's a Linux distro.
Well, I like thermonuclear Linux myself. It's a very small Linux distribution.
There's a Satan Linux.
I think that probably goes without saying, isn't there?
But yes, that's why I was questioning. And like I said, I think, Mitch, that's a great way to jump in. Definitely command line. I do a lot of stuff via the command line. I grew up on DOS. That was my first computer. My dad said, we're not going to have Windows. And at that time, it was like Windows 3. So I'm not. I know I look very old and very distinguished, but I'm not that old. And so I ran DOS. And so I'm very comfortable in the command line with the networking that I do, a lot of it's terminal and SSH in. I'm very comfortable in the command line. So I definitely recommend that, learn the command line stuff. Because that, even when things break and packages don't work and your package manager stops, you know.
How do you spell that? Bodhi, how do you spell
it? Gets hit
it?
By Bodhi.
Oh.
So if your package manager gets hit by a bus walking off the curb, then you have something to fall back on. Yeah, there are a lot of small footprint Linux distros out there that'll fit. I mean, Bode Linux, the 32-bit distro for Bode Linux is 580 megs. The nice thing about Bode Linux, I just noticed it, is that, Mitch, because you have a computer that is so old, you need to watch what you need to find are non-PAE kernels or non-PAE distros, because PAE is your physical address extension. And what happens is if you get a distro like the new Ubuntu distro, it doesn't have it. Now, if you need one, I can find you and I can point you to where you can find a non-PAE Ubuntu 12.04 distro. This was the problem I was having with an older machine that I wanted to. I wanted to test with it, but all the new machines have PAE installed. And if they don't, if your hardware architecture doesn't support PAE, so that's that physical address extension, if it doesn't support it, then they won't run on it.
Right.
So you can't install that. So having right off the bat, having a 10-year-old computer with it, you know, you're already kind of limited to which small distros that are out there, but there are still quite a bit out there that you could use. Definitely go for it. I think Bode's based on. I couldn't help you. I'm sorry.
I wish. And it's enlightened desktop edition based on Ubuntu 12.04.
Okay, so there you go. So it's you know you would use the normal deb package installer. So sudo apt-get install.
Right.
But so you were talking about you having issues with Skype, right? Well, in
no, I wasn't having injury. I just had to install it. It wasn't on there. I just had to install it. It was just a funny way.
Oh, but you're talking about how you had
to download these two packages, and you had to put it in these packages or the files in your home folder, then open up this one program, and then with this program you had to point to it and it put. I don't know. It worked. I mean, it's working. I didn't try my. I mean, I tried to. I talked to the Skype lady. I didn't talk to her, but it did a little test thing, and it sounded all right. I didn't try the camera yet. I haven't had a camera hooked up to it. But it was just a little different the way you how you installed it, but it worked. But I'm going to probably put – I have a Core 2 Quad, a newer, older machine that will work with any newer distro. So I'll play around with that. But I need to get a hard drive for it because I don't want to mess with the Windows that's on there now. So.
Oh yeah, no, definitely want to do that. But in if an Ubuntu or a Debian based operating system, you could just do sudo apt-get install Skype.
Yeah,
as long as the repositories are in there. So, and Skype's not a great one to do because sometimes there's new Skype versus old Skype. But say you wanted VLC, something like that. You wouldn't have to worry about downloading something. You could just install it right from the command line.
Sudo apt-get updates. First, got to get the updates first, right?
Right. First. Updates and then upgrade.
Upgrade, yeah. It'll come back to me. So I'm gonna start messing around.
Oh yeah,
with it.
You'll get right into it. So now we gotta. So Tim, when are you installing your Linux box? you already did it, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Linux is so last year. Let me tell you where I'm at in Linux. I've never ever really set up a Linux box. Everything in my home is looking for the shortest. I'm looking for the shortest.
You just use Linux just to recover data.
I'm looking for the shortest distance between two points. So there, we have had Linux machines in this house on occasion. I actually ran a test a few years ago. I took an old laptop, lit it up with Mint, and I gave it to the kids. And really? Yeah, and you know what? It's so much easier than it used to be because my kids grew up using Firefox. They grew up using the Office, the open source Office program,
like LibreOffice,
Open Office. Of course, this was a few years ago. So, they grew up with all this open source software. So, the whole GUI wasn't awful, and I installed Mint, which was pretty easy for anybody to get around initially. And you know what? I gave it to them, and they never even noticed that anything was even different. To them, it just was a different wallpaper, and they just clicked on all the same stuff, and everything worked just the same. And I thought that was fascinating. I've played around with Linux quite a bit. Of course, I've used Linux a lot with diagnostic tools. And that's not to diminish what it is and what it does. I just I've never ever had a reason to implement it, you know, 100% in my life. Like I said, I'm always looking for the shortest distance between two points. So, but I have played with Linux quite a bit in, you know, testing different, you know, media center type software. I haven't found anything yet that was as easy as setting up, you know, media center in Windows. You know, if everything would set up as easily as Windows Media Center and was as configurable, you know, the thing is that Windows Media Center, of course, our box, it's still Vista. It's a 64-bit Vista Media Center. Once I got it tweaked, I mean, it's been rock solid and it's been perfect. So I know that it would be quite a bit more work if I were to run a Linux distro. Not to say it wouldn't be worth it or whatever, but I'll tell you what, where I'm at is that that's what I really kind of took away from the Linux Fest, even though I didn't even go. But I met my dad for call.
Linux Fest by proxy.
Yeah. Well, osmosis, you know, it was still kind of like oozing out of everyone as I sat and drank coffee with them.
Right. And, you know, you're in the hotel, everybody's there doing Linux stuff. So you really couldn't get away with
it. Oh, man. In the hotel, they were cutting it and doing lines of Linux. And, But the next morning I met my father for coffee. He lives locally there. And I met him for coffee. We sat, and I probably spent a half hour trying to explain to him what this thing even was. You know, this Ohio Linux Fest, you know, in this world, there's two kind of people. There's those that you say Linux and they shake their head and they're like, you know, with you. And the others that you say Linux and they're like, okay, that doesn't even, what is that? Never heard that word before. And my father falls in the latter quarter category. And I try to explain, you know, what this Linux thing was and why it's important and why, you know, years ago we were saying it's the future and that why it is today. You know, we look around us and the future's here. And so when we look at the phones we use and the devices and that, and where Linux has, it may appear as though it's kind of crept into all of our lives, but, you know, all those of us in the know that this is what we expected. These are the days we couldn't wait for, where we had Linux devices like the Pi that was cheap and fun to tinker with and, you know, almost like the Legos for us big kids. And, you know, where devices that normal people have in their hands every day and couldn't live without are running Linux. And they don't even know that they're like geek by proxy. And so that's kind of, you know, where I am. I really kind of dug into the Android, just these Android phones, the Android operating system. I've kind of been picking at it a little bit, trying to figure it out and understand it better because I know that Android smartphones are new to many people around here. Yeah. Martin, I mean, that's the big news. Martin finally got it.
Right there in the front row.
Martin finally did it. Push came to shove, and he got an Android phone. So he was actually allowed to come to Linux Fest this year.
Well, I think, no. See, here's the thing, is that I have gotten the oh, you run Linux? Oh, can I? Oh, you have an iPhone. Like, Linux, street cred goes up. iPhone, street cred goes down. Like, why are you running, you know? Oh, yeah, it's like, yeah, you're right back where you started. It's like chutes and ladders. It is.
Well, people were being kind if you actually thought you were going back to where you thought you started. But,
well, yeah, but I can't wait. There's a couple of friends here locally that they don't know that I have a new phone yet, and I can't wait to show them.
Well, no, I mean, and you are a Linux guy, and the fact you had an iPhone, it doesn't compute, but, you know, it's like, contract. Okay, all right. That's the problem with the phones is that it's the whole thing with Linux is that, hey, I want to try that. Bam, you just go out and get it, you try it. But it's like, oh, I'm locked into this contract. That's the problem with the phones. And so you couldn't just go out, grab an Android phone and tinker with it if you wanted. But no, that's, I've only had a smartphone for about a year and a half. And so I've really kind of been, I really am in elementary school compared to so many people that I know that, you know, listen to this podcast but it's been a blast to kind of, you know, learn the Android operating system. And I started fooling around with some of the applications and did a very anti Tim kind of thing. And I learned how to decompile a piece of software. And so, and I'm not a software guy. And of course it just looked like a bunch of gobbledygook to me, but I mean, to be able to, you know, take this device and the software it's available to it. It's free. And to be able to decompile it and poke around in it, not that I had any intention, but to be able to do that, that's amazing to me. A few years ago, something like that would have been a little hard to imagine. And with how so much software is produced, especially in the past or the years, to be able to have the freedom to do that, it really is pretty amazing to me. It's not a surprise because I've used Linux for so long, I understand the core values behind it. But to be able to do that, I think is pretty fantastic. And I especially with the handheld devices, the phones and the tablets, just when I thought technology was getting kind of stale and boring, where we had seen the internet slowly begin to mature, all of a sudden we have these brand new devices. And I think that there's a new arena of the Wild West that has popped up. And so that's what's so exciting to me about technology. There's always some new front that it's like the Wild West. Anything goes until we kind of figure out what works, what doesn't, what's appropriate, what's not. And so that's kind of where I'm at with Linux, is that, with the handheld devices. So, and I'll tell you what, my son, he got a new tablet from his grandparents for his birthday a couple days ago, and they were blown away that he unpacked it. They're fantastic people. They actually charged it for him. So when he opened it, it worked, but being he's still in elementary school, he picked it up, turned it on, and was using it like that. And they couldn't understand how he could do that. But he'd been exposed to, the tablet that I own. He's been playing Minecraft on his mother's phone for I don't know how long. Thank goodness those days are now over. But
you can actually get a hold of your wife now when you call.
Yeah, or send a text. He'd be like, "Mom, you got a text." Oh, she didn't hear me. I guess, because she's in the back of the house.
Oh, man.
He's a hassle. So, you're in the middle of Minecraft. What are you going to do? It was really fantastic. The kid could pick it up. And I tell you what, it cracks me up. Within 10 minutes, he had found the calendar function. He had put his birthday into the calendar, and he had turned 9, and I thought it was fantastic. He actually set a reminder for his birthday for the next 91 years.
Nice.
So I thought that was pretty good.
Well, it's just I'm 38. I remember when everything kind of came on board. I remember BBS systems coming online in high school. My kids, 11 and 13, have always had technology.
Yeah.
Partly because I'm a geek, but partly because it's always been there. Now, they have seen it mature, as opposed to kids, my two nieces who were born, who aren't even a year old yet. They're going to just, from what my kids have seen in the last 13 years growing up with the in development of technology compared to what my nieces are going to see now for the next 13 years from here, it's going to be huge, So your 9-year-old pulls out a tablet and goes to work with it. The school that I'm working at, the kids are, the fifth graders get tablets already. Mm-hmm. They work all the time in tablets. So it's not surprising. I mean, it doesn't surprise us that when we hand something to our kids, whether it's, a Linux box, I handed my wife a Linux on a laptop and I said, "Okay, I will show you how to use this," and I couldn't make it. Next thing I know, I'm getting emails. And I said, "Well, what happened?" She says, "I just turned it on. I just did it." I handed the same thing to my kids. My son's like, "Do you mind if I reload it?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" So he flips in a CD. He's like, and he's, next thing I know, he's just reloading his machine over and over and over and over again. So, our kids are, we're not surprised that technology to them is just natural. It's just always been there. It hasn't not been there. And so for older generations to see that, it is a step back. But on that same token, because it's always been there, that we're gonna have a different generation moving forward with my kids become older, because technology has been so integral, good or bad. Sometimes I can't get my kids to look at me because it's oddly quiet around the house, and I realize that everybody's on their iPhone or on their Android, or you know, so there's some good and there's some bad with it. But we need to, you know, change. You know, the school that I work at, they are changing a little bit of their curriculum to integrate more technology. So we, because there is an increase in technology, and that's not going to go away, we have to as parents and as teachers kind of help steer them in the right direction with that. So I'm going on a little side tangent there, but I'm excited to see where it's going, because every day, you know, if you're expecting technology to stand still and you're just going to sit around and wait for it, you might want to step off to the side, because you're going to get plowed over.
Man, they didn't even have calculators when I was in grade school. Well, that was in the early 60s. I had to use an abacus.
Well, and with that abacus, didn't you have to like beat dinosaurs off? That's my stick of lamb for lunch, you Brachiosaurus.
Brachiosaurus.
I see that? That's all I got. That's it.
We've moved a long ways in a short amount of time, really.
Mitch didn't know any of those names either. I mean, there was Bitey and Fluffy and, you know,
Sleepy.
Smoky. And yeah, I mean, that was a dragon. But I mean, you know.
I'm
pets, right?
That's right.
Those were pets. You didn't eat pets.
No. Pets don't eat you. We hope not.
Well, yeah, okay, that's true.
But yeah, I'm excited for technology. I wanted to bring up a fact that I received a couple emails, or received an email while we were gone that talked about the delay in the shows since we had moved over to podcasts, the delay in shows for getting posted. And what I wanted to mention to our listeners is that, you know, this week has been especially interesting, you know, cause you know, everybody knows last Tuesday we record on Tuesdays, and then, I jumped on a plane Thursday morning, Mitch got picked up Thursday night. So we, you know, come Thursday, we were ready for Ohio Linux Fest. So we know that episode 84, if you're listening live right now, where this is 85, episode 84 has not been posted yet. So there are some times where there is a delay with posting. Mitch, Tim, I, Fred, we all have 9-to-5 jobs. We all, you know, we all work. We have family. We have kids. And this is, we volunteer for this. We enjoy doing this because we enjoy coming together and just talking about, as techs, what we experience, what things we find that are great, what things that we find are sad, Windows 8, and what, you know, and what we can do about them
he's trying to get me started over here.
I'm sorry. And what we, you know, and just our life story. So we do the best that we can to get them posted out on time and online and within a reasonable amount of time. So if you are having issues and you are having troubles, and you or if you've realized that we're on episode 85 and you're thinking, wait a minute, my podcast application is not picking these up, go ahead and go over to podnuts.com/geeksters. We do have a new RSS feed, and so maybe the feed that you have is a little late on that. So go over there, make sure you have the right RSS feed, and we really do appreciate your patience. We do enjoy getting together and just having a great time, but you know, if you feel like that things are coming a little slow, just be patient with us. And we'll get the podcasts out. We do our best to get them out in a timely manner.
It's no way going to be 30 days. You're not going to have to wait 30 days, and guarantee you that.
Right. So, you know, they usually take about 3 to 5 days on normal. I know Dor does a, you know, Dor's up late, you know, and he's up early to get stuff out for the Podnuts Network. And, you know, he also works 9-to-5, has family, has kids. So we just really appreciate your patience with that. And, you know, and so we do get around to it. And so on that note, we want to hear from you guys. We enjoy hearing from you guys. We've had great, good emails. We've had some emails that come in that have chastised us, called us out on things. So call us out. If you have an issue with us, let us know. You know, I'll respond back to you. I'll reply to any email that you guys send in. I think any of us will reply to any email that you guys send in. So we can, you know, we want to hear communication from you guys. We don't want to just answer only the stuff that makes us sound better. We will answer the stuff that we get called out for. So, I don't know what you guys thoughts
on
that
are, but the fame.
Oh, well.
Okay, that's stupid. I agree. But you agree. No, this is not what we do. This is something that we do with a little bit of free time that we have in our lives. And we've always done it because we enjoy it. We get more than we put into it. But yeah, this is not a, this is, this is not our vocation at all. So I'm with Martin. If anybody is disgruntled, please, we beg you to be gruntled only, that
I don't know if that's a word.
it's a callback. I wish I'd made that up. It's great.
That's adorism.
But no, it's everybody. We beg that you just be gruntled with us, and that we're doing the best we can here. And I think we tend to get these knocked out pretty darn well for a bunch of volunteers here. But hey, if it's a little slow, hang in there. We really do. We love our listeners. We appreciate you, and we thank you for all the feedback that we get.
You can be gruntled. I'm assuming you could because it was disgruntled, but how many times do you hear that? I have had a gruntled day. It means to be pleased, satisfied, or content.
Is it really?
I'm going to start using it.
Did you just
look that up? I did.
Really? No, that's not a real word, is it?
I did. I'm going to go out to dinner. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to rub my tummy and say, oh, I'm so gruntled. That was such a good meal.
Can you can you verb the word, or are there other conjugations of it? Maybe this
we were gruntled with a good meal and good conversation.
I found this meal gruntling.
I am gruntled by having your guys in presence.
Oh, look, there we go. We just gave our listeners something. They can now turn it off because they've learned something.
I just gruntled by accident. I'm sorry.
I think Kevin Wisher in our chat is actually gruntled right now.
Is he really?
It's how much he likes the show. He's gruntled.
Wow.
That's it. What? I'm going to tell people to have a gruntled day.
And if somebody says they're not disgruntled, I'm yelling at them for a double negative.
Don't confuse me. Don't confuse me.
Exactly. I am not disgruntled at this time. Liar!
Anywho.
So, again, thank you guys for your patience. If you want to reach us, since we... Kevin Wisher says, I look gruntled. That's because I haven't shaved. But if you want to reach us, send us emails at geeksters@podnuts.com, voicemails at 706-PODNUT. You can check another show that Mitch and Tim are sometimes involved in, Unbootables. That's at geeksters.tv, Saturdays at 11 p.m.-ish Eastern. And that, have you guys had a show recently? I know, kind of been traveling and stuff.
No, because I wasn't there Saturday.
No. So they're gonna have, it's gonna be Unbootables squared on Saturday. It's gonna be two times the fun.
Yeah.
But give us a call. Send us a message, Mitch.
Don't look at that. Oh, there you Sorry, go. I'm messing.
That's okay. if people do, they want people to get a hold of you at Geeksters at Podnuts.
That would be fine.
Excellent. And Tim, people want to get a hold of you?
I am Tim Bauermeister in the G+. I'm in Like Tim in the Podnuts forums, or you can email me. I'm tim@realpcrepair.com.
Nice. And actually, before I tell you guys where you can find me, I did want to throw out Kevin Wishers in our chat room, and he was there too. He had to leave a little early on Sunday morning, or was it Saturday night? No, he left Saturday night. It was great to meet up with him.
He was there?
No. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
Kevin Barry,
I'm sorry. Kevin Barry, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry. Kevin Wisher, wish you were there. I'm getting my Kevins mixed up. But if people want to get a hold of me, they can email me at the same thing, geeksters@podnuts.com, or they can email me at martin@obandocomputing.com. I'd like to hear what people have to say. We'll be back next week with episode 86. Hopefully Fred will have gotten off the plane safely by now. And maybe he'll have another excuse. I don't know. Gas tank on fire. I don't know.
I just thought it was great because I was taking bets who wasn't going to be here. I mean, between Tim and Fred, and I lost.
I'm always here.
I'm talking about it at Ohio.
Oh,
I thought Fred wasn't going to make it for sure, but he did.
He was there. It was a good time.
That's nice. Well, guys, I'm glad to know you were betting against me.
I was not betting. I knew it. I knew it in my heart. From the moment you said it, I was gruntled to know you were going to be there.
Well, next time there's a bet, let me know. I'll bet against myself in the nut show.
Honey, I just made $20 by betting against myself. They said I wouldn't made it, but I did. Now I got $20. See ya. I'm here just to collect my $20, please. I have other places to go.
Sorry, not sorry.
Well, I know we could drag this on for a while, but I think we've had a great show, and it was great to talk with you guys. I feel, like I said, I'm a little saddened that I have to talk to you via this way when we had so much time talking in person, but there's always next year.
Yes.
For the meantime, I will be gruntled knowing that I will find you here next week. All right. Thanks, everybody, for coming out and watching us live. have a great day. You know what? Have a gruntled day. We'll talk to you guys later. All right. We can end our podcast or the recording.
Well, I'll count it down. Wait a minute.
Oh, we're going to count it? I don't think we have to. 3, 2, 1.